morning. I did not quite realize that it was already time. So welcome to worship here this morning. I am Pastor Stephanie Kopsch, and I have been essentially asked by the Synod to be here for a few months until we can get a formal either interim in place or see what our connection with the UCC might be. And I think Scott is just trying to tell me that I haven't turned the mic on, have I?
Yes, okay.
All right, I have a perpetual love-hate relationship with mics. Let me get this straight. So for the last couple of days, which might be the reason why both Denise and I look a little bit like we party too heavily, we spent the last 2.5 days at Synod Assembly down for the Rocky Mountain Synod in Westminster, in northwest suburb of Denver. It's been quite interesting. I was able to make quite a few connections and quite a few appointments, including for this congregation. So I've mentioned this to the council before, but this congregation is small enough that we can make it as a committee of the whole, so that you know what I am thinking of, what we are going to do in the next 4 months. And then I'm going to give Denise some floor time to talk about Synod Assembly. But here is what I think we are going to try to do. And that is, first of all, talk about the emotional impact of having lost two pastors in less than a year, really, for you. That's sort of, you know, you invest a lot of time and emotion into the relationship, and to lose that is always heartbreaking, and the way that it happened here was equally so. So then let's see if we can get emotionally to a point to have a farewell party for Tom and Roxanne. And I said I would like to be able to have it and yet be able to divorce it from Sunday morning service, separate it out, and perhaps even not. Denise, I give you credit for this, because I said we'll do it on a Sunday afternoon or something like that. And Denise said, how about having a picnic at the park? And I think that might actually be more helpful in the long run, so that it is, and it is certainly not you have to attend, but you may attend. And the other thing is, this is subject to approval by, first of all, the Tom and Roxanne. Secondly, I pretty much have to say we are there or we are not there. Thirdly, the bishop. And I think I can convince him, because he usually trusts my judgment when I say I think we are there, we need to do this, and it's important for both us and for Tom and Roxanne to do that. But let's see if we can manage that. I would hope that by August we are there. No guarantees on my end or on your end, but those are the goals I'm setting out for us, if you know what I'm trying to say, in terms of this is the direction we are going to try to move in, if this is the direction you all want to move in. Because trust me, I know enough about being a pastor that there's no point in trying to take a congregation somewhere where it doesn't want to go. It doesn't work, and it doesn't function, and it only sets up weird relationships. We are not going to do that. But those are the things that you might less call it road posts than suggestions for where we are going. But these two are fairly high on my priority list. Let's get the glasses on. Third one is to figure out if there is a possible future with a shared pastor with the UCC, or what that would mean, and where we would go from here in that, how that would work. I know that Kent Mueller, who was here on the 15th, has made some connections with the UCC authoritative body for Wyoming, and I don't even know their nomenclature in terms of who that is, a presiding or a dean or whatever they are, but we'll try to figure that one out. I have worked plenty of times with the Methodists and the Episcopalians. I have never worked with the UCC, so that's going to be a new challenge and experience for me. Last but not least, the ELCA is currently working on a paper on social justice and women. And I think that might be something we want to take a look at. This might be an interesting timing that this has been right now been placed before the church as a draft statement. The nice thing about that is, as it is a draft statement, we are able to input and say, this is what we liked, this is what we don't like, this is what we really object to, and this is our experience, and this is where we would like to go with this. And I do know that they read this, because when you got those red hymnals, and I saw the list of those hymnals, of those hymns that are included, and I was missing one that I love dearly, I called them. And I said, why is that hymn not included? And they got back with me. And they said, here are the reasons why we decided not to have that in there. So it is not that they ignore us, which we often feel like, because there are so many Lutherans and there are so many congregations, but they really do listen to people who take this stuff seriously and ask questions and want to know what's going on within the congregation. So we can have an input on the larger life of the church in the way that we study it and in the way that we are going to go about this. So those are the four things that I would like for us to see and figure out. If that is going to be an option, I will talk with you individually about it. I will talk with you in the larger congregation about it. We'll talk about it on council, on EC, and you name it, all these different places, and we'll go from there. The other thing I wanted to tell you is that this week, it's only today and tomorrow. But if you see my car parked here, anywhere on the property, and you want to talk, come on in and do it. If there's an appointment, I will have to tell you, sorry, not right now, but otherwise, I'm open for conversation. And you know that I was just here on last Sunday morning, but just developing those points and trying to go through things, you will understand that even when I am not necessarily present here in the church building, I am doing some work and trying to figure out where are we going and how are we going to do this together. Last but not least, I managed to get on Pastor Sarah Manning's schedule, which is a feat not unlike one of the greater miracles of Jesus. And so I take full credit for that. She will be here on, and now I forgot the date.
It's August 19th.
Is that the Sunday? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I knew it was the 20th or 21st. Thank you. That Sunday is the 19th. And so she will be here. And by that time, I would hope that we have gotten to a point that we might know if our future lies in a joint ministry with the UCC or not. But whichever way that goes, I will be in communication with her beforehand so that she can either guide us through a two-denominational process or into a formal interim call process, etc. Are there any questions on any of this?
I have a pamphlet for the women, the justice statement. I'll put it over here. So if you want to look at it, I grabbed one.
I brought them all, and I think they're in Casper.
Okay, well,
that was helpful.
It was
really
lovely, so I do
thank you.
I want to read it and see what their women is about. It's kind of hard to explain. So, are we ready for me now?
Please do.
All right. It was very interesting and open, to be honest. We learned a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. But Bishop was reelected for 6 more years in the first vote with over 75% majority, which is amazing. It doesn't happen very often for bishops to have be voted in the first time. So that was kind of exciting. The keynote speaker is Cynthia Mo Lobian. I might be messing up her name totally. She talked about, bless you, she talked about identity, to teach, proclaim, and share the significances of ELCA, way of being part of Christ Church with a clear vision. She also talked about connect, which is foster new and increased collaboration and connections across our synod. And then she talked about equipped, which is how we can strengthen and vibrate faith in our communities. And she also talked, and she talked about this for a long time. It's not as short as this. and then she talked about a company, ensuring that the synod leadership is engaged in the life of congregations and ministries. I think what's amazing is when you go to something like this, you realize that you're not alone. There are other small congregations just like ours that are there, and our voice means something in the synod. Even though sometimes you think you're not heard, you really are. There was over 401 people voting on the bishop. The second day there was 436 people voting for different things. So it's amazing when you see, and the music, when you hear everyone singing and 400 voices, let me tell you, it was pretty awesome. I just sat and listened. It was absolutely gorgeous. The worship was really nice. We also voted on some resolutions. The resolutions we voted on were dialogues concerning gun violence, forming Synod Youth Council, and then human rights of Palestinian children. All these passed, which I think is a good thing for us to be as a synod to be a part of and to take a stand on. So I think they all worked out really well. My favorite part was the music and the worship and the meeting people, because I met a bunch of people that gave me some ideas for in council that I think we can go across. I think we have some other options, but I don't want to say them right now until I take them to council and we talk and discuss some other things that we can do. It was just interesting and fun. I think if anyone ever has the opportunity to do it, we should do it. I think we should go in twos. Driving down there by myself is kind of crazy on the rain. Thank you very much. I did get there safely and sound, so that was nice. If anyone wants to go over anything more that happened in there, I'd be more than happy to go over, because it was 2.5 days, so there's more than a 5-minute. But I don't know if anyone wants to get into resolution and constitution and things like that, but they did adjust them. So if anyone wants to know any of that, I'd be more than happy to answer those questions. Thank you for letting me go and be your voting member at our congregation. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Are there any other announcements for the good of the body of Christ, the church? Yes?
The ladies will be working on a quilt for our graduates on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock if anybody wants to come and help tie the quilt.
Excellent. 9 o'clock, quilting.
9 o'clock, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I forgot one thing. They did celebrate people who were ordained in the ministry, and somebody was... Pastor Stephanie's 25 years, so let's give her a hand for 25 years. Orway is 45 years. There was somebody there that was 70 years in ministry. Can you imagine? So it was kind of amazing to celebrate 70. I mean, that was amazing, 70. So it's nice to have this much years of experience right here in our own church right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Will you please rise? Oops, hold on. Okay, we have two different things here. This is mine. All right. I'll get there sooner or later. We have come together in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Joined into Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and you, by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now we sing.
Thank you.
O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
First reading is from Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 98 responsibly today. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations.
O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. Oh, I'm sorry. I just repeated exactly what you said to me. Now we really know that one. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all your lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song.
With the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein.
Let the rivers clap their hands. And let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our second reading is from 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This is the one who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And I invite the children to come forward. Great. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Anyone have a clue what these are? Peppers. What color?
Red,
my very favorite peppers. They are crunchy, they are sweet, I have fun with them. They tend to be really interesting to eat, especially in polite company, because they crack, you know, when you bite into them. So, is there anything that you have that you love greatly? Not just food. Perhaps it's, what do I know? Your favorite pen or pencil, or your favorite video game, or your favorite iPad. Anything like that? There's got to be something you love in your house. What?
Wait, do living things count?
Sure!
And my bird.
Your bird! Yes, I used to have a cat, we better not meet. How about you?
My family.
Your family, very cool. How about you?
Apples.
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 Uh-huh. Cucumbers. Now, there are a couple of things that are different when we talk about the family than when we would be talking about something to eat. But let's see, how well do we share? The bird doesn't do so well with sharing, does it? Yeah, I thought not. How about the family? Do you share your family with anybody else? Well, sometimes you share your family with someone else. If your parents have friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do. And you share yourself with others but your family. How about your apples? Do you ever give them away? No, the cucumbers are staying with you too. Well, see, part of what we do when we love one another is that we share both ourselves and the things we have and that we really love with others. That's part of what Jesus is telling us today, which told me last night that my dear last pepper I probably have to share with you guys, if you like peppers. I trust you. I can tell you, you can trust me. I washed it. I cut it up. It was in the fridge. It's probably in pretty good shape. So if you like peppers, this is yours for this morning. You each get to have a little bit. And those are big slices. I told you I like these things. You want a pepper? Okay. Oh, there we go. It looks it. You want some? Very cool. Whoa, okay, that went down on the floor. So, as we munch on peppers, let's pray, shall we? Dear God, we give you thanks for all the things that surround us, and we thank you for so many things that we can share with others. Make us always mindful that those who have less than we do would like to share with us, and we with them, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those are open for more consumption if anybody wants them. If you're getting really bored during the sermon time, for example. Let's see. Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So as you just heard, something was happening in that early church of St. Peter's. People are added to their ranks each and every day. Sometimes it's just a lone Ethiopian eunuch, you remember last week, who is baptized in a puddle of water, and at other times it's 5,000 who are baptized in an afternoon. And the church, which wasn't even known as the church back then, but simply as the people of the way, it grows by leaps and bounds. What can prevent these people from being baptized is the formative question for each and every one of those converts. And every time the answer is nothing. The numbers just keep coming. And I have to admit, it's a bit unsettling when we compare that with the life of the church in general today. What exactly were they doing to make it work? What was their evangelism strategy? Did they have a brand new minted synod program that attracted people from every corner of the universe? Did you hear one of those? Nah, I didn't either. All right. Or was it simply the work of the Holy Spirit that made it all happen? Now, ignoring the power of the Holy Spirit is usually hazardous to your health, so we might want to keep that form of divine intervention in the equation. But even God cannot work without human participation. God's work, our hands, as the ELCA says in its amazingly pointed motto. What else would be the reason for God to call people throughout the ages to be part of the work of God that God seeks to do with us in the world? From Abram and Sarah, who carry the promise of God from their hometown of Ur all the way to the promised land, to Moses, who, when the Israelites find themselves slaves in Egypt, calls them back to the promises that God made to them. All the time, it's people who make the work of God visible among us. And it's the same in the early church. Love one another, Jesus had commanded his disciples in the night of his arrest, and as they had struggled to live out this command, people from all over the place were wondering about their life together as the church. Something attracted them. Something prompted them. And as much as I would like to think it was them, or simply the activity of the Holy Spirit, I tend to believe that the love that the early believers showed in their life together had a part to play as well. Love one another, Jesus had said to them in the night of his arrest. And initially that didn't seem that difficult. After all, they were all friends, weren't they? Or at least companions on the journey. It might not have even needed a commandment to let them love one another. Everybody loves their friends, don't we all? We often agree on things, enjoy each other's company. invite each other over for dinner, go hiking or biking or fishing or shopping together. We bring each other cookies or casseroles. We care for each other. It's not that hard to live and to love our friends because they're good people. We know that. We like them. Loving one another, not a problem. We can love our friends. And when we think about it, we can probably also love those whom we only know a little. Those who have touched our lives very randomly. Famous people, benefactors, victims of crimes, those who have been mentioned in the news or written up in the newspapers, those of whom we know name and perhaps a face, but barely anything of what's important to them. It's fairly safe for us to love them. We might even pray for them. Loving one another is not a problem here either. After all, they don't affect our lives greatly. And we can feel good about following Jesus' command by loving them from far away. But Jesus said, love one another. And there are always those others. The really others. Those that make our valiant attempts at loving them so challenging. Those that make us just want to forget the whole loving thing and get on with our lives. Those that try our patience. Those that disagree with us openly or behind our backs. Those who confess to having just made the same mistake for the 16th time and need our bailing them out yet again. Those that tell us that we are wrong and they are right, and that is the end of the discussion. Those that cut us down or slight us in conversation. Those that insult and hurt us and perhaps don't even realize how much they injure us in the process. And after letting it simmer inside of us for a while, we finally feel it boil over, and all we want to do is scream, whatever happened to love one another? Because this is where this loving one another gets complicated, muddled, frustrating. It isn't that we don't want to love them, it is that they make our loving them so darn difficult that they are so unresponsive to our approaches of loving them that we have to ask if we cannot make a few exceptions to the rule with them, our prime candidates. Who can love every man, woman, child in the universe? Who can love the person who just cut you off in traffic and then shows you the finger just to prove that they have the bigger truck than you do? Who can love the teenager who just puts the rest of his life in danger by incurring a drug charge that will follow him for the rest of his life? Love one another, Jesus says. And the mere fact that he is saying it tells me that he knew it wouldn't come natural to us. The mere fact that he said this to his disciples on the night of his arrest tells me that he knew that this was going to be something trying, something difficult for them to do. And not just for them, but also for us, who came along in their wake some 2,000 years later, in an age of vastly improved technology and travel and communications, but not necessarily in an age of improved skills of loving one another. For you see, we don't need to be reminded of those things that come natural to us. We need to be reminded of the things that we tend to forget. We don't need commandments for the things that we do anyway. We need them for the things that we don't feel like doing. Love one another is one of them. And Jesus said, don't forget this. love one another. I suspect that that was what set the followers of the way apart from everyone else. The way how they were treating each other. With love and respect and dignity and charity. In sharing what they had and who they were. It made them a community so attracted to each other that it yet attracted others. And the church grew by leaps and bounds. It enabled them to face adversity and persecutions and unjust accusations and even death. They knew that love would carry them, that the love that Jesus had shown them needed to be shown in their lives as well. If it's an evangelism strategy, it's a costly one. Fewest of them got to die of old age or in their own beds. But their witness was irresistible, and they practiced it. Together against a dog-eat-dog world. And the world responded by joining their ranks. So love one another, Jesus said. Don't forget that. Even when it doesn't come natural to you with some people. Love one another. Remember that. Love, whether you do or don't feel love, it's important. It's your witness to the world. Love one another. It's the commandment that I give you, Jesus said, so that my witness will live among you. And the church grew by leaps and bounds. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, together, let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, your voice calls us to worship. Where discord bellows within the church, unite us with harmony. Where we lack direction, guide us in singing your song with our unique voices. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creative Lord, your melodies form the earth and all that is in it. Receive the roar of the sea and the rhythmic clap of the rivers. Rejoice as the hills ring out in praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy One, you hear all our moans and groans. Where lament and blues resound, send us to listen. Send us to comfort. Send us to build relationships rooted in your justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Serenade the estranged and all who suffer alone. Accompany high-functioning addicts and the frightened who have no one to turn to. Give rest to overworked caregivers and people living with schizophrenia. Today we pray especially for those we name before you now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal song, you call us to share our gifts for your glory. We thank you and praise you for our musicians and vocalists, choir directors and hymn writers. Bless all who lead and all who sing and worship. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your goodness echoes through all time with the songs of the saints. Thank you for all the disciples who have mentored us through their gifts of music. Keep your song within us this day and always. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange the sign of God's peace among us. That's where it needs to be. Okay.
No, that was perfect. with you. Peace with you. Sorry.
Give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future, we bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and here with us now. And in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so as we remember him in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine, we remember him with the words he taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Come to this table, where you are known and loved. Thank you.
Christ bread for your journey. The body of 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 Christ bread for your journey. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you and strengthen you in faith and in love toward yourself and toward one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you and strengthen you in love and in faith toward one another. Amen. Christ bread for your journey. The body of Christ bread for your journey. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Would you please rise? We Let us pray together.
Life and God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give you life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
And only God, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
that.
Of course, she usually puts them all over. I know she